Hello and welcome to New Voices in AI. This is a new series from AI Hub where we celebrate the voices of PhD students, early career researchers, and those with a new perspective on AI. I am Jo Daly, Engagement Manager for AI Hub, and without further ado, let's begin.
First up, big welcome to our very first guest on New Voices in AI. If you could introduce yourself, who are you, where are you from?
Thank you very much for having me. I'm David Adelani, or David Ifeoluwa Adelani. I'm originally from Nigeria, and I'm a PhD student at the Department of Language, Science and Technology at Zala University, Saarbrücken in Germany. So that's where I'm from. And also I'm an active member of Masakane. So Masakane is this grassroots organization whose mission is to strengthen and spur NLP research in African languages by Africans and for Africans. So, and currently the organization, we are majorly operating on Slack, and we already have over 1,000 members. Of course, not everyone is active, at least we have more than 100 or close to 100 active members on Slack.
Oh, that's great. So how did you get into AI?
It's a long story because initially I was interested in image processing when I was coming to the grad school. But after taking the NLP course at my university, natural language processing, and I also took in parallel the course of social media analysis, then I wanted to do like NLP for computational social science. But while working on that, I think that was in 2018, I got attracted to one peculiar problem in Yoruba language, which is about diacritics. So Yoruba is a tonal language, and also the tones are expressed and so are marked on top of the words, so diacritics. And that got me interested into how we can like automate the process of automatically added diacritics to the text. And why is this important? Because if you want to do like speech recognition for this language, the tones, if they're not captured properly, then it doesn't work properly. And also for machine translation, when you want to translate into their language, there's a lot of ambiguities. So this is what really got me interested. And I was like, okay, this looks like a very simple problem. You have a sentence without diacritics, and you have a sentence with diacritics. It's like a machine translation problem. So we could use sequence model. Although someone was faster than me, and you already published this idea at Interspeech, and we later collaborated together to even make it better. And we submitted this to Africa NLP workshop in 2020. So this was really what got me interested in it. And I forgot to mention, Yoruba language is from the southern, southwestern part of Nigeria. It's also native to, I think, the Benin Republic, which is also a border country with Nigeria. And of course, but it's also widely spoken, of course, in West Africa and also the diaspora. We have like lots of people in the diaspora, especially in the US and the UK. That was a long story, but yeah.
Well, everyone has their own way to get into AI, so it's never a straightforward story, is it? What about beyond sort of AI? Do you have any interesting non-AI related facts about you?
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. I love watching animal documentaries. I think one of my favorites is beavers. These animals that construct dams. I think I'm from Africa, so most of the animals that we really like lions and crocodiles, they're just powerful animals. But when I came across this documentary on beaver, it was quite interesting. We don't have it there, but this impressive animal, and the way they construct dams and their intelligence really got me thinking, wow, yeah, this is a very interest in animal, and I really probably like this documentary.
So. A lot of engineering skill goes into a beaver.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
If you could make an AI to do anything at all, what would you make and why?
If I can make AI to do anything, I would say, okay, you should try to understand all world languages. I know this is really difficult, but even if it can understand language with few examples, so there are a lot of languages that the only corpora they have probably is the Bible, because this is probably the most translated piece of text we have. Even with 1,000 sentences, if an AI can understand. So I'm talking more in the context of NLP, just because this is more of my background. And if AI can understand world languages with few examples, this will be super amazing. And we can solve a lot of problems here.
It would be a very cool thing to make, for sure.
Yeah.
What's something that really excites you about AI?
In recent time, I think the ability for it to solve complex problems. You know, there's some AI models that can even solve some math problems, which is quite impressive. And also, when you think about large picture models like GPT-3, I just gave you a few examples. Even something like one or three examples, and they could really solve sentiment analysis tasks. It really shows the power of artificial intelligence. Maybe they don't understand everything, but I think there's the ongoing debate if they really understand what you're doing, but at least there's a clear trend of improvement in how they can solve downstream NLP tasks. This is really interesting, and it's one of the best things to work on now. Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So many kind of possibilities with the technology that's coming up. Kind of.
Yeah.
And kind of speaking of challenges, what do you think will be some of the biggest changes in AI in the next 5 to 10 years?
Yeah, I think this is a difficult question. I would just talk in the context of NLP. I think one of the challenges nowadays is how do we make these AI models to be more multilingual? I mean, we already have multilingual variants of this program. And we just wanted to be able to support more languages, or maybe we have a simpler technique for them to quickly adapt to a new language. And this would be one challenge. Because the problems we have in English also exist in other languages, right? So we're not just trying to solve problems for English or other indigenous languages like Chinese and Spanish. And we have some difficult tasks, and not even difficult, that I mean, simple tasks that, maybe simple or difficult is not the right word anyways, but we have some tasks that are important to the speakers of this language. For example, if you want to do a speech detection for degree here, and maybe you could do it quickly with English model, because you have a good language model, and you could fine-tune it on that task, and you have some more examples, but for degree here, you don't have these resources. So the question is, how can we make AI models to be able to adapt quickly to a new language with a different script, different language family. And apart from speech detection, there are also important AI applications like machine translation. You want to translate from Wolof to French. French is also spoken in Senegal, where Wolof is spoken. But another question is, can you do this with few examples? And because maybe you don't have enough examples for Wolof or Paralectics. And the more challenging question is, if you could translate in between low resource languages. So can you translate from Wolof to Swahili, from Yoruba to Swahili, from Yoruba to Zulu? And most of these models are more English-centric. You're always translating to and from English. And we're not really sure of this capability of these AI models to other languages until we test them or try to work on them. So I think these are more challenges just to make this work for more people, so that we have like an NLP for a multilingual NLP for everyone, or that covers more languages. I think this would be a challenge.
It's definitely, there's so many languages out there, which is like a beautiful thing, and it would be really great to actually be able to do stuff with all of them.
Yeah, that's a big challenge.
For sure. So what kind of questions, when you say to people that you work in AI, working on NLP, what kind of questions do you usually get from people not involved in those areas?
I think one of the questions that the people ask me, maybe because of where I'm coming from, there's a lot of economic challenges, for example, in Nigeria. And people ask, okay, you do a lot of stuff like this, and how does it help us? So if I say I train a machine translation model on my system, and I'm not able to deploy it or like create some economic benefits for this, it's like people is less important to them. So one of the questions I get asked is that, okay, can all what you're working on, can it help to create jobs? And the answer is yes. If one can create a startup around some of this research, it could help actually in economic development for these regions where these languages are spoken. Maybe that's not my focus for now because I'm still doing research, but I think it's something that's important to many people, especially people that do not find it fun to just train models on the command line. Yeah, they want to see really concrete benefit of this.
It kind of makes sense that people want to know. It's like, how is this going to help?
Yeah, how does it help?
Yeah. So what do you think are some of the biggest challenges or opportunities in AI?
So again, I'm just talking about NLP, so this is not general, but I think, like you said, mostly the NLP is a challenge and also an opportunity because it has helped like even communities to work on this problem. Like when I was introducing myself, I told you about being a member of Mascani. It became an opportunity for them. Okay, this has not covered our language. Can we make anyone else to really adapt to African languages or common languages? And people are passionate about this. So eventually, it looks like less like an opportunity for people to really work and also develop skill and capacity to do things. Just while working on these problems. So it's a challenge and an opportunity at the same time, definitely.
Absolutely. So who have you been your kind of biggest inspirations in the field?
There are many people. but I think one of my biggest inspirations, I think I would say my supervisor, because I got interested in this through his NLP course. And this got me interested in NLP. And of course, I also did a seminar with the same group. And I read this paper on what to think, Thomas Mikolov. And it's about word representations. And I really find that idea very novel and interesting. And I tried to understand it, which took me some time. But definitely after that, I became super interested in this kind of representation learning and other NLP tasks. And of course, generally, I do respect like a few NLP researchers. For example, Ben Newby and Sebastian Ruder, these blogs that's helped a lot. So just to simplify some of these technical terms and papers and other people in the field. Yeah.
It's like so many great people out there to learn and be. So we've kind of talked a little bit about kind of your research already. This is like as a brief kind of summary, what are you working on currently?
Currently I'm working on more transfer learning for name entity recognition in African languages. So probably this is just try to understand Why does it work? When does it work? How to use it? How to adapt it? And things like that. So it's a very popular concept now, and people really need to understand how to use it very well. Yeah, this is one thing I'm kind of looking on, and which is also related to future learning in the context of needless recognition. And I'm also thinking of how to adapt this to other tasks like machine translation. Machine translation is one problem that initially didn't interest me. Why? Because it requires a lot of examples. We spent hours and hours training this model, even days or weeks. But now I think with these new models and pre-trained models, what I'm currently working on is, can we do this with few examples? If so, how many examples do we need? So this is more, it's kind of analysis work. And of course, another thing I'm pretty interested in is creation of NLP corpora, creation of NLP corpora that we can use for African languages. I'm working more on African languages at the moment. So it's about, we don't have part of speech data set for many African languages. Can we create this? And some of these projects have been funded by organizations like the Bakuna Fund, where we're creating parallel text for machine translation. And we're annotating data set for part of speech and language recognition. And this is for around 20 languages. If we can have this is super impressive. Of course, this is only possible because we could collaborate with organizations like Masikali, where we have the speakers of this language and they can connect us to people that can help us to develop this discussion.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like having that community is sort of really helpful for your work as well with that, Masakane. Cool. Again, we've kind of touched on this a little bit. Could you tell us a little bit about the implications of your research and why it's an interesting area for study?
So I think one reason why I like this area of research is because it's very practical, right? So this is the kind of problem we face in industry and business enterprise. What you want to save costs, you want to do things with few examples because annotation is costly, right? So this is why it's interesting also to me. And especially when annotators are not even accessible. So if you're a company in Europe and you only have a few examples from a language, maybe in Cameroon, and you don't have access to the speakers, how would you do this? Maybe there is some conflicts or war happening in that region. How would you do something? You cannot go back and say, okay, now I want to get annotators. But the question is that the few examples you have, what can you do with it? And this is a question, how do you adapt model string or several tasks to in low resiliency? It could be to a new language, it could be to a new task, it could be to a new domain. So or of interest, it could be you have review domain and you go to Twitter domain, and these domains are different. So this kind of problem is what I'm really interested in, actually.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of excites you most about your work?
I think what excites me the most is that I could work on my mother tongue alongside English, and I could also work on other African languages that have been neglected for so long, and they have received less research. And of course, there are many factors for this, which is a lot of factors, partially due to how some decolonization passed of the continent, also partially due to the speakers of the languages, they have not done a lot for their language, and also partially due to there'll be less government funding to support research. So the problem is not one, it's just not a phase, I think. And depending on how you look at it, there are many factors. And this is what excites me. I can work on African languages, I can work on my mother tongue, and also, our recent work on creating benchmark data set, I think I'm very happy if I see a publication that is our data set, because usually those publications, they tend to use well-established, like, baseline, corporate, and now if they evaluate some African languages, this really makes me happy.
It's definitely super important that there's like no language left behind.
Exactly.
So what would you like to work on next?
I think I want to spend more time on speech. I've done a lot of work on text. So like minutes recognition, machine translation. But speech has been also neglected a lot. And one big advantage of speech is also you could reach people of different education status. So people are not educated, and the only way they could communicate is using their voice. And you cannot build AI applications for them if you don't have tools and models that can understand voice in that language. I think this is an interesting area that we definitely want to work on. And of course, just continue my research on future planning.
I can imagine that's probably quite a challenge going from sort of text-based to speech-based language. So how do you hope your research could be used in the future?
So I think my research, because also it involves some corporate creation, I think the corporate we create on Masakano spoil a lot of NLP research on African languages in many tasks. But I talked about language recognition, part of speech, machine translation, and other areas. And of course, we also are developing techniques alongside that works better in the low resource setting, because we evaluate a lot in this setting. And all these techniques can also be applied in different scenarios and on different languages. If we're working on these African languages, this application can also be done in maybe Southeast Asian languages. So these techniques are a little bit more general, so maybe do not really depend on the language you're evaluating. And I think this would be great if other people can use some of these techniques.
Absolutely. So far, what has been your most memorable research experience?
I think the most memorable one would be our last paper on Masakano, which is this creation of the first large-scale name entity recognition dataset for about 10 African languages. I mean, this is the first time we have it. It involves a lot of collaboration, and I'm really happy with what came out of this cooperation from people from the African continent, people around the world, in Europe and America, and Asia. So it's like almost all regions are represented. I think it's a very memorable experience for me.
It's a big group effort going into making that. And what has been one of your most unusual sources of inspiration for your work?
I was God, because there's this desire to just have positive impacts on people. And the desire to use the time one has to make an impact. Like one of my favorite quotes would be in the Bible, be anything you find your hands doing, do it with all your might. Because you just have a short time to live here. So you better make use of it and try to do it well. and with all your might. And it's really encourages me when I'm tired and I have to do a lot of things. So, yeah, just to get going, yeah, take the tabs.
That's a really beautiful quote. That's definitely,
yeah,
I think, words to live by. So how has your previous or your general kind of life experience influenced your work?
Previous life experience, how did it influence my work? Mm. One thing is, while growing up, I'm in a multilingual society. For example, people speak Yoruba and English together. For example, whether in the church or mosque or whatever you go to. So people are, and also there's a need for interpretation, because in Nigeria, there's a multilingual society. So if someone is preaching or there's a broadcast by government, it has to be translated also to other languages that people can understand. So then suddenly there's this importance of being able to understand other languages and being able to have translation, whether speech translation or text translation, to get the things done in the multilingual society. And also you have people that are less educated that you have to communicate to. So I used to have someone that came from another region of Nigeria and came to live with us. He doesn't speak Yoruba, he only speak English, is one at home. So the question of how can he communicate? So he had to learn Yoruba, and sometimes he cannot communicate with some people, and there's a need for someone to translate. And of course, this has heavily influenced a lot of my work, and then I'll be especially in the machine translation, and also providing tools for low resource languages. And of course, some of my experience also at Zara University also helped, because I was working on a different project before, more privacy. And this is where I got introduced to some other tasks, like image recognition. And when I was working in African languages, I just suddenly discovered that, oh, we don't even have this kind of copra for African languages. And this is one of the most used copra for evaluation of pre-trained models. And of course, this was one of the motivation of creating this data set.
And very, very finally, where can people find out more? Where can we find you online?
I'm on Twitter, so you can find me. Devlan Adeyi. DAVLANADE.
Brilliant. We will also have transcriptions and links to social media. And final question would be also, because you are our very first interviewee, we don't have a question from a previous person, but I do have a question from one of my colleagues, which actually links weirdly nicely to your work, which is, if you could wake up tomorrow and speak another language, what would you like to be able to speak?
I don't think I can wake up tomorrow and speak another language. I want to speak German, because I'm in Germany. Communication will be difficult. And I just wake up and start speaking German. This was super cool. I can go anywhere and display my talent or speak.
Yeah. Did it make day to day a bit easier?
Yeah.
And do you have a potential question for the next person to be interviewed?
It's a bit tricky one. Maybe what are the challenges they face during their work? Trying to do this. Whatever they need, what are the challenges they face? And maybe how did they overcome? Able to resolve some of these challenges before they're able to have this final result. Could be an interesting question.
Thanks. That's a really great question. Thank you so much. Thank you again so much, David, for your time with us today. That was absolutely brilliant.
And finally, I would like to thank you for listening to us today. Join us next time where we'll be talking to Isabel Cacciola about her research. If you would like to find out more about the series, do check us out at aihub.org. And goodbye for now.